That being said, this is a tumor that we've now learned can be dramatically amenable to immunotherapy. And so because of the viral etiology, these tumors commonly have very high expression of PD-L1 and infiltration of T cells. So historically, our management of Merkel cell carcinoma is that we don't have a direct FDA approval, but rather, just like other small cell cancer, like small cell lung cancer, which is also a neuroendocrine tumor, and I didn't point that out earlier, but Merkel cell carcinoma is also a neuroendocrine tumor, we treat it very similar to small cell cancer with platinum plus etoposide chemotherapy. And we've done that historically. That has definitely been, before very recently, the standard frontline therapy for metastatic disease. It's also sometimes used for adjuvant therapy as well, where radiation is probably more common, however. That being said, much like small cell carcinoma of the lung, we see that responses are quite common initially, but rarely very durable. The historical data set for progression-free survival on chemotherapy for Merkel cell carcinoma shows there are rare patients who go out a long period of time, but the median, unfortunately, is on the order of just over 3 months in terms of progression-free survival on this chemotherapy.
Just a side question, you mentioned that it's a neuroendocrine tumor, and I can't remember what the scan is that you do in people with GI neuroendocrine tumors and the radiolabeled lutetate thing that's being used. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
But those scans are more commonly used for low-grade neuroendocrine tumors in the liver or in the pancreas, as opposed to these neuroendocrine tumors, much like small cell, are much, much more aggressive. And so we tend not to use those sort of radiolabeled investigations in Merkel cell carcinoma.
Right.